Say, why'd he call her that? We've been living in an RV together for over 20 years. Anybody that can live with me that long, I mean, let alone in a hallway, that's the grace of God. I got it coming and going. Amen. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Numbers 32. I'd like to share a nice, sweet message tonight to help you feel good about yourself. But I don't have one like that. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, don't you have a sugar stick? And I said, I tried that once. It turned out to be more stick than sugar. Amen. Numbers 32. And let me get a verse number 1. It says this, Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrod and Heshbon and Eleali and Shabam. Amen. I like that. And Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servant for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Amen. Moses is starting to have flashbacks right about now, because he remembers back in Numbers 13, amen, and we're pick it up at verse 6, and I'll pray later, but let's follow the text. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Amen. You know, they got to the, I mean, they made it all this time, 40 years through the wilderness, and they got to the shore of the River Jordan, and now the promised land is physically within sight, and they weren't looking at what God promised. They were looking at what's around them. They were ranchers. Amen. This is our early Texans. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. We would rather stay here. This is perfect land for cattle. It was an economic decision. They were walking by sight and not by faith. And to them, they didn't see it was a big deal all of Israel, the other 10 tribes, 9.5, would be on the other side of the river. I mean, they're close. They didn't see a problem with living on the edge. Jewish history tells us that every time an oppressor came, those that were living on the edge were the first to go into captivity. And that's something that has not changed from then until now. And there's people that know who Jesus Christ is, but they insist on staying just on the edge. All not in. Maybe sometimes 1 foot in. And then when something comes and stuff comes, God of this world sends distractions, and they're the first to go into captivity. Still saved, still love God, they say, but they refuse to get in because their eyes are fixed on the things down here. That's the scenario here. Half a tribe of Manasseh joined them, and Moses said what he said. He remembered when he sent the spies in to spy out the land 40 years before, and 10 of them, they said in Numbers 13, I won't go there, as grasshoppers in the sight of the inhabitants of the land. Even though they brought back one cluster of grapes that was so big it had to be carried on a staff between two men. They acknowledge it sure enough is a land that flows with milk and honey. But that's a perfect type of Christians today. With everything God promised, everything God done, There's always a but to keep them from taking a step by faith. It's too bad, too, because you miss out on what God's got for you. So Moses, like I say, he's remembering that. I mean, he got sentenced to 40 years in the wilderness too because of their lack of faith. And he remembers that. And so then the bargaining starts in verse 18. We'll pick it up there. And it's almost hard not to read the whole thing, but he challenged them. They promised that they would cross and fight. They didn't want to get out of battle. Cowardice wasn't their problem. They just wanted that land, so they promised that they would go over and that they would fight and secure the land, but they wanted to come back. So that's their bargain. And Moses, and they said in verse 18, we will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit it with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side, Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he had driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Notice how before the Lord showing up a lot, isn't it? Then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord, verse 23. But if ye will not do so, Moses, if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Profound. Serious warning. Man, am I ever glad that that's the Old Testament. Till you get to Galatians 6, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Notice that Moses said, if you'll not do so, verse 23, if you'll not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Doesn't say, you've sinned against me. It doesn't say, you've sinned against your pastor or your brethren. It says against the Lord. When I read that, it reminds me that God takes sin personal. David remembered that in Psalm 51 and verse 4 when he said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And you mark it down tonight, friend. He will be justified when he speaks and clear when he judges. Amen. Amen. Our text said there in verse 23, the topic of tonight's message is, it said to be sure your sin will find you out. Father, again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege that my wife and I have to come to this place where you meet with us faithfully. And I pray that you meet with us tonight. I pray, God, according to needs, that the words that I believe you've laid on my heart to give tonight would be a help. Whether it be reproof, rebuke, exhortation is your business. I just help me to be faithful. Amen. Lord, I don't know everybody in here tonight. I don't know if everybody's saved. If he's not, if there's a person in here that does not know, on the authority of the Word of God, does not know that they would step into eternity in your presence rather than a devil's hell. I pray that tonight they'd get closer, be closer to that knowledge. I pray that maybe tonight it'd even be the night of their salvation. God, you made it easy enough for me to get saved in a jail cell alone after just hearing the truth of the gospel. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But it needs to be addressed honestly. We're needy people. We needed you to forgive our sins, and we need you every step of the way from here on out. So Christian and unchristian, non-Christian alike, Lord, we're here tonight because we're hoping to hear something from you. Help me to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. We will give you the credit, the glory for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Well, the text said, be sure your sin will find you out. And I got thinking about that, and sure enough, I mean, you mark it down, but let me say number one tonight, sin will find you out of some things. Sin will find you out of your Bible. Sin will find you out of your Bible. I remember hearing years ago now at a church, a preacher had a flyer, and it had to do with a controversy about different versions of the Bible. And it was the NIV people, whoever they are, and they were mad. They were mad about the TNIV people. I don't even know what that means. Today's new. I'm not even sure what it means. But it was somebody that had taken the NIV and gone through the whole thing and changed that. And they were upset. The audacity that you had to take this book that we worked on and labored on for so long and you saw fit to try to improve it. Isn't that incredibly interesting? You know, I wonder if God's going, duh, amen. But that's what they do. They change the Bible. They change the Bible all the time. Amen. And you know why they do? You know why, man, outside of the money, outside of it, part of the devil's original plan, and we understand all that. But you know what provokes man to keep trying to change the Bible? It's real simple. It condemns him. It reveals how wicked he is. I mean, from beginning to end. They don't mind y'all have sinned, but they don't like all have sinned. Amen. They don't like that thing that there's none righteous. None righteous. No, not one. They don't like that thing. Self-righteous people hate the profound truth that the Bible put forth because it includes them, and they don't like that. They don't see it that way. They don't like it. I'm educated. How dare you say that? We love to say that to them. All right, we know all that, but let's bring it home. Do you know why people don't read their Bible like they should? Pretty much the same reason. Because it condemns them. It condemns sin, and they don't, I want to say they like it. But that's probably a little offensive this day and age. But I sure enough will say this. At least I'm talking about believers tonight. They don't hate it like they should. All right, take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is the correct attitude towards sin. Thank you, dear, for bringing that up here. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 26. Moses wrote this, "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it." I mean, that's extreme hatred right there. That is to be the child of God's attitude towards sin. Amen. And That's why we don't read our, because that's in the Bible. Yeah, we don't like that kind of stuff. I'll tell you this, what I've learned in we think faith is a victory. People don't hate, I mean, children of God, people that have claimed to be saved. They don't hate sin enough to ask God to give them victory over bad habits in their life. Amen. They just write things into the script. Well, that's just the way it is. I like it. God hates it. I don't really care. Why don't you just say, I don't really care, God? Because that's how God sees it. Amen. I had a list of bad habits. I'm 10 miles long. And I just started chipping away at it. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't need some theologian to say, Spurgeon, you need to quit dealing dope, robbing dope houses, getting in the shootout with other... I kind of figured that probably wasn't a good idea anymore now that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. But then there were other things, man. I smoked for years, and man, the cussing. There were so many things I had to start working on. I got to a place in my life where, I mean, I had this list, man, of things that I begged God, and God gave victory after victory after victory, and I finally got down to the end of that list, and I felt so victorious, and I would thank you, Lord, I finally made it. And he handed me another list. And then he handed me another list, and he handed me another list. Yeah, I'm not doing some of the physical stuff, but I'm a long way from where I wish I was. I'm a long way from where Jesus Christ deserved for me to be, and I'm trying. And I still got to battle this thing of flesh just like everybody else, but I hate it. There's a lot of Christians don't hate it enough to get God in, giving them victory. Because he's able. The book says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has never failed. We can't say that. So I'm talking, number one is be sure your sin will find you out of your Bible. Psalm 119 says, in verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. How many ever heard the expression, half-hearted? Half-hearted, guess where that comes from? That's the way we often approach God. Half-hearted. Amen? And you know why that is? Because only half of us is interested in the things of God. And it's the spirit half. And the other half, the flesh part, has got too much control. People don't read their Bible like they should, some people, just because they're lazy. Well, they read everything else. They got a magazine rack. They're reading on the internet all the time. It's not that they don't like to read. There is zero spiritual opposition to reading other things. There's something going on. We talked about it last night. When the Word of God is preached, there's supernatural opposition. Thank God we can't see them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, when you try to read your Bible, amen, you could study a textbook and come away thinking you learned something, and you try to put some time in your Bible, and you're sleeping and thinking about... It's because there's spiritual opposition to fight. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Let me tell you something. I know something about fighting. It's work. Yep. Yeah. And eternal life's a gift. We didn't have to do anything for it except get honest with ourselves, and God will save you. And we want our Christian life to be just like salvation, where Jesus Christ does all the work. Amen. You need to read your Bible. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Man, I'll tell you what, somebody asked one time, Brother Spurgeon, what do you think the reason is for there's so much sin in the camp? And you know, I'm no theologian. The only difference between me and some others is I know it, don't claim to be. But I got a Bible, and I got a Bible that says if you hide the Word of God in your heart, you won't sin against God. To me, the antithesis is just as valid. If you don't hide the Word of God in your heart, there's only one choice. And you'll sin against God. And God's a merciful God. You know, I've been in Florida where they have the big four-wheel drive truck tires that big, and they drive them out into a... Some of them got 800 horsepower, and they drive them out into a big old muddy pond, and I mean, they don't go nowhere. But they can throw mud 50 feet in the air. Amen. That's the challenge, to get out of the mud hole. That's the challenge we're in, to get out of the mud hole. Bible says he brought me out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. You're just spinning your wheels in the mud trying to do it yourself. Why don't you get in the Bible? That'd be a good place for an amen. Amen. Honk those horns. Oh, no, wrong day. Amen. I like that horn honking thing, didn't you? Amen. All right, so it says this in James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're talking about Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin will find you out of your Bible. You know, someone once said, America has lost her moral compass. Yeah, that's an understatement. And I'll tell you why. Because she forsook the Bible. You let sin find you out of your Bible, and you'll lose your moral compass too. Moses said, be sure your sin will find you out. And I know from our perspective, your sin will find you out of your Bible. Amen? There's more to this thing than tucking it under your arm. And you can fool some of the people some of the time. You remember, whatever was his name, Barnum and Bailey, Barnum, P.T. Barnum. You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, and you can't fool God one time, never. P.T. Barnum didn't say that. Dave Purgeon did. So, number one, sin will find you out of your Bible. And be sure, sin will find you out of your prayer closet. Amen? Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 14, and I'll give you a second. Boy, was I tempted to say time's up. Hebrews 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore. Therefore, that means this. Because we have a high priest in heaven, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, you have access, amen, to your high, you have direct access to Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. I don't know about you. Yeah, I do actually. We're all going to need plenty of both. Plenty of grace, plenty of mercy in this life. Amen. But you better keep short accounts to maintain that access. It says in Proverbs 5 and verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. I mean, let's try a new philosophy in 2021. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if it'll get footing in this day and age which we live, but I'm going to propose that we go back to common sense. Because it's been gone, forsaken in our country for so long. I just wonder if it would work. Here's what I mean. If God pondereth all his going, doesn't it make sense that it's kind of hard to talk to God? We're talking about praying. Isn't it kind of hard to talk to God when he knows all about your sin? I'm not talking about your past sin. As a matter of fact, if I'm reading my Bible right, he forgets them. They're under the blood. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're involved in sin, sin will find you out of your Bible, sin will find you out of your prayer closet. It says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's kind of hard to talk to God when he knows, you know, the real situation, you're real. You can, like I said, man, you can fake it around whoever, but it's kind of useless to be spending time in prayer, you know, if you regard iniquity in your heart, unless you're repenting. Oh, that's a prayer God wants to hear. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And that opened it back up. That's what opens communication back up. And the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you something tonight, beloved. Your prayers, however fervent, will not be effectual because of sin. Amen? Be sure tonight your sin will find you out of your prayer closet. Why would you let it? Amen. Don't let sin find you out. Let sin find you in your prayer closet. Asking God for mercy. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Obtaining mercy, that's what you get in lieu of judgment. That's where you go. And you'll get mercy from God. But you got to admit you need it. You got to confess. You can't go there, you know, I did this, But, quit blaming somebody else. We live in a day and age where we determine that it's normal to become a victim. It's not normal. It's wicked. It's carnal. I'm a victim. I'll admit it to you. I'm a victim of so many bad decisions. But boy, that one, that morning on November 30th, 1990, in that cell, that morning I laid that book, that King James Bible that preacher gave me on the floor, and I said, Lord, if what that book says is true, I got bigger problems than I thought. And I said, Lord, if what that book says is true, and what your son did on the cross could include somebody like me, I want in on this. I didn't even know how to ask. I didn't ask, oh, Jesus, please save me. I didn't have any religion in me. But I had enough honesty that day to admit I was a sinner. And if the book's true, I was going to go to hell. And I'm telling you tonight, the book's true. Amen. If you're not saved in here tonight, but despite your best efforts at turning over a new leaf or changing your life, without the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going straight to hell. And you don't have to. What would you? Amen. Don't go. Amen. But don't let sin come in between you and God. Don't let sin cut you off, because it will. This is what you do with sin. You confess it. Amen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll get his attention. Sin will find you out. Moses said, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin will find you out of your Bible. Sin will find you out of your prayer closet. Amen? Sin will find you out of church. Oh, haven't we seen that come to pass more often than we went out talking to somebody in Dayton, Ohio. I go to a little church in Dayton, Ohio, and we have a college there, University of Dayton, and there's a stadium that you can see from the interstate, I-75, the Welcome Stadium, you know, I've never been in there because I'm not a college boy. But my wife has said it. Somebody else said it. And they said it like this. It could be true all over the country. When I turned 20 years old, 20 plus years old, they said, if everybody that's ever come through the doors of our little church was still here, it would fill that stadium. Yeah. Amen. 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 But they're not. And a lot of, thank God people get called to the mission field. Amen. Thank God people get called to start works. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. And sometimes people move, thank God for the ones that find another church, a like-minded church to get in. But you and me both know a lot of people have got out because of sin. Because of sin. Sometimes it's big sin. Sometimes it's little sin. I mean, you don't need to be reminded that God doesn't play that game. He said, be sure your sin will find you out. And it's sure enough finding people out of church. Amen. I mean, listen, if you've got some sin going on and you don't have any intention of getting right with God, that it's grieved the Holy Spirit, you don't have joy anymore, you know, somehow you figured out that you're going to have more fun playing with that rattlesnake. It's going to bite you. Amen. Next time it gets hungry, it's going to bite you. Say, oh, look, it just lays there and I pet it. Yeah. I know people that have played that game with pythons. It bit them. Never met anybody that stupid to play the rattlesnake that way personally, but definitely not me. But listen, if you've got sin going on and you're not going to deal with it, you hear the preaching, you've heard the preaching to the point where I don't want to go back there. Sure you don't. You don't want to hear your sin. John. What a miserable thing it would be to have some sin in your life and come to church because you're still trying to fake it and to come to church and sit there on pins and needles the whole service because you're, when the preacher says turn to a text, you know, you're afraid he's going to hone in on. That is no way to enjoy your Christianity. If you got something going on like that, why don't you just get that thing right with God sooner than later? Because eventually, if you do, you're going to say, it's like salvation. You're going to say, why did I wait so long? Amen. But sin will get you out of church, sure enough. You're not going to like hearing your sin preached on. And then I've heard this, well, somebody told that preacher all about me. And you know, and you're not right with God, it doesn't seem like everything hits home. It's supposed to be that way. Because somebody did tell the preacher all about you. And it wasn't your wife. And it wasn't your husband. It wasn't your mom and dad. It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't you think these guys pray about what they preach? Amen. I do. Amen. This isn't a forum. This isn't, we're not, somebody said, our speaker tonight, that says, listen, that's a speaker. I ain't a speaker. I'm a preacher. If God doesn't give me something, man, I got other things to do. Amen. No preacher I know in our crowd doing this for the money. Amen. Amen. And the ones that are, I don't even tell them about you guys because you guys are pretty generous. Amen. You know what happens when you're not right with God? You get mad and critical of the brethren. Yeah, everything is, you know, you got your guard up all the time, you know, and then you start taking everything personal. Great peace have they which love thy law. Yeah, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, I'll tell you what, I have no, this is my crowd. I know some Christians, they're more easily offended than the guys I run with before. Amen. That's because there's Holy Ghost conviction in their life. That's the only explanation. Amen. Listen, when you get critical and easily offended, it's just a tip-off. You just need to learn. It's a tip-off. You're stinking carnal. You quit telling yourself you're okay. You're not okay. You're carnal. Get it right. I'm trying to help you. Get it right. Amen. Here's what you do. You stay home and you say, I don't have to go to church to worship God, to read my Bible, to pray. Amen. I don't need to go to church for that. I can do that at home. What do you do when you get to Hebrews 10:25? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When you're sitting home reading your Bible and your Bible says you ought to be in church, well, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to get back in church, or you're going to close that book. And that's what some do. Too many do. Sin will find you out. Sin will find you out. You're not going to. We need this. Amen. 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 I can pray at home. Yeah? Who are you praying to? It already says, if I regard iniquity. Amen? But I guess you can. I guess you can go through the motions. Amen. A lot of people do. We had a guy, he got saved in jail, and he came for a while, and I'm the first jailhouse convert that actually came. They all say they will. It's a frustrating ministry for that reason. Because we know what God will do for a person. And for some people, it's sad but true. For some people, getting saved is as good as it's going to get. We're talking about a brand plucked from the burning. Thank God he does that. But there's so much more that God has got for a person that'll get a hold of it. Amen. Amen. This guy came for a while, though. He came. And right on, man. We got another jailbird. He came in. I said, hey, what kind of bird don't fly? And everybody looks and I said, jailbird! Hey, jailbird! Good to see you. Amen. No, I don't care. I'm not worried about offending. Them people have thicker skin than some Christians do. And he came for a while, and he did good for a while. And then he'd got to where he wasn't coming. He wasn't coming. He lived on a rough side of town, which so did I. So preacher said, David, why don't you go visit this guy and see what's up? And I go, and I knock on the door. I said, he opens it up. And I say, hey, man, just checking on you. You know, you haven't been coming. I said, what, anything I can do for you? Need a ride? What's up? Oh, man, just things, you know. You know, I know the smells. Okay? I mean, there's things going on. I know what's going on. He said, no, I'm good, though. Yeah, I'll be there next week. And he didn't come, and he didn't come, and he didn't come. A couple weeks later, they sent me back, and I go in and knock on the door. I mean, it's a trailer. I knock on the door, and he don't answer. Trust me. You can hear people moving around inside a trailer. And I beat on the door, and he's not going to open. What do I sound like, a cop? Yeah. Yeah, I learned this from the ATF. Bam, bam, bam. And he knows me. He knows I ain't leaving. He finally comes to the door. He only opens the door this far this time, though. Yeah, brother. Smoke comes out. I can see the beer cans on the table. I said, hey, what's up with you? He said, well, I don't need to come to church. I can read my Bible. I can read my Bible. I can pray at home. I said, yeah. I said, what'd you read today? What'd you read this morning? Do you even know where your Bible is? Amen. You need church. But sin does not like being around. If you're not going to deal with your sin, your stinking flesh is not going to like being around other people that are. Listen, we're all sinners, but if we'll subject ourselves to the Spirit of God, and when the Holy Ghost bears witness to activity in our life that doesn't please Him, we'll try to bow our heads and get right. And if you're not about to do that, you are not going to be around that crowd. Listen, none of us have arrived. We arrived at, watch this, you ready? 602 Oak Knoll. I got the address right. 8 years it took, thank you. And so sin will find you out. Sin will find you out at church. Amen? And you young people, we have any tonight? Listen, I tell you what, after your parents quit making you come, that's when true character kicks in. I've seen hundreds. Sweet, nice, saved, don't doubt it. Active in Sunday school, church things, sing specials. But boy, when they hit 18, 19, phew, they're gone. And it's a heartbreak. And we see it all the time. And I'll tell you what, what you do when it's between God, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what makes a difference between the men and the boys and the ladies and the women, what you do. Because I'm telling you, sin will get you out. I don't care if you were born in church. Amen. So Moses said to him, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll find you out of some things. Sin will find you out of fellowship with your spouse. Sure enough. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Go ahead and turn there. That way I can get a drink of water without feeling like, you know, you're staring at me. I'm staring at you. Ephesians 5. Everybody's favorite, all women's favorite verse, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You hear that? I'm going to tell you something. Sin will keep you from doing that. Sin will keep you from doing that. Drop down a couple of verses. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm telling you men something. Sin will prevent you from loving your wife. as Christ also loved the church. That, let me remind you, that was sacrificially. Amen? Let me tell you something. Sin will find you out of your relationship with your spouse, find you out of your marriage. It's not just dope, and it's not just liquor and pornography and adultery and physical abuse that tears homes apart. There's some sins that come in between Christians. Hey, listen, selfishness is a sin.
Amen.
In Bible Institute, we had marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Three semesters. I got an A in all three. And one of the things Brother Estep said, he said, that was my pastor, teacher, he said, he's talking to us young. He said, you want to find out how selfish you are? Get married.
Amen. Amen.
Well, before you get married, it probably works that way with women too. Because it's all about you. And a guy works and he's got a big truck, which is okay in Texas, and boat or fishes or hunts, and it's all about, you get a good paycheck and you're going to Bass Pro. You follow me? But then when you get married, now you got responsibility. You got responsibility. You got to take care of that gal. You promised you would.
Amen.
Before God,
yes,
you promised you would. Amen? And sometimes your flesh ain't going to like that. You want a new shotgun, she needs a washer. What are you supposed to do? You ain't going to hear it from me, but I got a feeling you know.
Amen.
And then the preacher said, and then if you really want to find out how selfish you are, start having kids. Because
yeah.
Them little rascals get expensive. And next thing you know, you can't go do something because they need things like shoes and clothes and something else. Oh, food, that's it, food. Amen. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you're young and you're got a vision for your life and you're working hard and a little out of your money is not going to what maybe you thought. And that's just part of it. That's what it's supposed to be. Amen. But sin, man, sin, selfishness is a sin. It destroys marriages. Let me tell you something. Laziness is a sin.
Amen.
You got to work at marriage. Amen, honey? if I can formulate this thought, it occurred to me, well, it has to do, people like Brother Eddie and Sister Donna have been married 46 years. Amen. That is a tribute.
Yes.
Amen. We live in a day and age where people get married like they're buying something from Walmart. Save the receipt. If you don't like it, you can take it back. And sad truth is, Christians are getting like that. And I start thinking about, well, her and I have been married 23 years in April. Amen. 23 years. Now that's, again, it's probably a challenge for her. But I was sitting there. She was up in the front of the motorhome the other day. And I'm back there in the bedroom. We're 8 feet wide. And I thought, not only are we doing well in our marriage so far tonight, but we're doing it living in a motorhome. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tell me God's not real.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what, there are times where we got to work at it. Thank God I did not marry a lazy woman. And her prayers are getting me out of it. Amen? But there's no place in a marriage for selfishness. Why would you get married? I could go into that. I'm not going to. Because of things that I've seen. Some of them hit too close to home. You know what I'm saying? But why would you even get married if you're going to be so stinking selfish? And if you're going to be lazy, how are you going to take care of somebody else? And that goes for the woman, too, because, it's a lot of work to put up with men.
Amen.
I want to hear some women voices there. Amen. And I got something else. Oh, yeah. My wife's favorite. Unkindness is a sin. Men don't think like women. My wife is tough as nails. She's as tough a Christian soldier as I've ever met. And it blows my eye. I watch her deal with stuff. And then I'll say something just a little maybe gruff. And next thing I know, it's off to the races. I go, what? And I don't even get it. We got to work at being kind.
Yes, amen.
I can't believe you didn't amen that. Amen. I'm learning. How am I doing? Amen. Let me tell you something. Stubbornness is a sin. Sometimes just because of our situation, because of our life, because of different things, we just butt heads just because we're butt heads. Oh, I can't believe I said that. Strike that from the tape. All right. That was a first, I know, right? All right, so I don't know what I was thinking, but here's the deal. The Bible says rebellion, 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It's not cool, young people. It's not a phase. It's a sin. And it's as a sin of witchcraft. That's devil worship. But doesn't stop there. And stubbornness. I'm Irish. I got an uphill battle. But it says stubbornness is as iniquity, sin, and idolatry. And there ain't no place for it. And it's part of the factory equipment, you know, that we come with. And it needs to be kept under, buddy, because it's sin. It's not okay. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin will find you out of fellowship with your spouse. You know this. It'll go further than that. Let me give you the cure for this stubbornness thing and all this other. And I gave you the verse the other night. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Amen. Could you imagine counseling a marriage couple? They're having problems. And the pastor says, okay, what's the problem? And the wife says, you know, my husband always thinks of me first and puts my needs and wants first. And he says, you know, my wife is so kind and so considerate, and she always is so thoughtful, and I wonder if there's ever been a counseling problem like that. I wonder if there'd ever be a marriage problem if we could get a hold of esteeming other better than ourselves. That's God's plan. There's a problem, and the problem is the flesh. And the flesh sins without even thinking about it. But there's a remedy for it, and it's called confessing our sin. Because if you don't, be sure your sin will find you out. And it'll find you out of more than fellowship with your spouse. It'll find you out of your marriage altogether. Then you'll be asking for permission to see your own children. Think about that, tough guy. Then sin will find you out of money because you're paying child support. And I'm for that. People ought to be paying child support. Amen. I'd give everybody a raise if I was a Democrat, but I'm not. Okay. So it says, let me give it again. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, we're talking about sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. Don't let it find you out. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We got a couple of young people in here. Let me say this. Sin will find you out of fellowship with your parents. Listen. I understand. There's worst case scenarios. But the people I'm talking to, chances are, your parents loved you enough to bring you to church. Let me tell you something. Sin will get you out of fellowship with your friends. Two of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life. Of the top three, That's one of them. The other two are in heaven. And it was my mom and dad. And I was raised in a Christian home. And I went against everything they said. Amen. Everything they believed and everything they taught. Well, back in the 60s, I contracted the same teenage disease that I've noticed they still have not found a cure for. COVID isn't the only thing they've never figured out how to... Now I've offended Eddie. COVID isn't the only thing they haven't figured out a cure for. The disease I'm talking about is the one where young people get to a place in their teenage years where they decide they're smarter than their parents.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I got there, and I'm not now, what am I now, 68 tomorrow. I see that they haven't fixed that yet, 50-some years later. This 16-year-old boy, man, he was so frustrated how dumb his parents were. Yes, I mean, they weren't with it. They weren't cool. They just, they didn't know how to upload. And they didn't know how to download. But they know how to reload. That was the one I was telling you. You missed it. Right over your head, didn't it? Amen. And I had to get a smartphone so my children would talk to me. Now I have a phone and a wife that's smarter than I am. Amen. But my mom and dad, well, this 16-year-old that couldn't believe how dumb his parents were, 18 years old, he graduated from high school, he moved out, started paying his own bills, started having to get his own job, put gas in his own car. And there were times he had to go back over to mom and dad's house, and he just was amazed at how much they learned in just 5 years. That's what growing up's all about. But sin will sever that relationship. Amen? And I wasted a lot of years. I forsook those two people that cared about me more than anybody in the world that stayed faithful to pray for me. You know, when I got to the point, I'd come in and put the pistol on the refrigerator, take my colors off and try not to curse and in and out. And my mom in the early years would say, David, you know, you shouldn't do that. Or, you know, we're going to church. I said, look, Mom, that's enough. You want me to come around? That's enough. I don't want to hear that. And she just looked at me. And she's the Irish gal I was telling you about the other night. She said, okay. And she didn't talk to me about it no more. She went over my head and got with God for 20 years. Boy, when I got saved, those two people that I had hurt the most. Listen, the friends that I went with, the gang, man, as soon as you disagree with them, man, they write you off. I was guilty of doing it. But the people that cared more about me than anybody else, that loved me, they just were faithful and stuck it out. And my biggest fans after I got saved, I went to a church in Alabama. My mother, who never, we were raised Methodist. Nobody said nothing in church, ever. Preacher didn't say much either. And she stood up and said, that's my boy, and I'm proud of him. That's the first time I ever heard my mom say anything in church except for, that's my seat, get out. And that was the back row because my mom got to church 15 minutes early because that seat on the back row was hers and she got it. After she went on to be with the Lord, my dad moved up to the third or fourth row. I thought, what? I love them people and I thank God for them. I wasted a lot of years. A lot. God gave me 11 with my mom and 19 with my dad after I got saved, after I came back to normal earth. And I treasure it. But I wasted a lot of years. And, you know, I can't do anything about that. But I can warn you. Don't let sin find you out of fellowship with your folks. Last of all, sin will find you out of fellowship with the brethren. Yeah. With a perfect salvation, with the Spirit of God moving in and God's Word, we still struggle with sin. How about that? And we often forsake a great resource the Lord has given us, and it's what? Each other.
Especially now. Boy, we are in a situation where I just now, looking at this thing for a year and how the churches, the dynamic of the churches, I mean the real churches, has changed so much. I'm wondering if this just wasn't the devil's whole plan in the first place. Because he loves it when he can separate us. It'll do it. But he's other devices. Amen? Let me tell you something. I cannot overestimate the importance of our fellowship together.
Amen.
Do what you got to do and all that. But listen, don't ever just, don't get comfortable. This is important.
Amen.
Iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Amen.
The opposite of sharpen is dull. And you're not in danger of losing a lot of things. But you can sure enough lose your edge.
Amen.
Now we got a different kind of situation going. We got to find our way through it. But even when we do, the reality will be true like it was 10 years ago, 1 year ago. Sin still finds people out of fellowship.
Amen.
With the most like-minded people on the planet. We need each other.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to get tired of saying that. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to say this. If there's something wrong, when Christians don't want to be around other Christians. I mean, we're not the crowd that's punching the clock in the foyer, right? Like we're going to show Jesus at the judgment seat how often we can't. We like each other, right?
Amen.
But something's wrong when Christians don't like being around other Christians. And I'll nail it for you. It's sin. When sin enters. Amen. If you're not dealing with sin in your life, you're not going to want to be around people that do. Sin doesn't like conviction. Say, you already said that. Maybe I need to say it more. Amen. You ever notice how backslidden people, rebels, locate each other? I noticed that. We noticed that at camp meetings way before the social media. At our church, the young people that were, faking it, they'd be in the back. And then when other people came in for the meeting and it was like they had a secret handshake or something. You know, they identified each other. And then social media came. And I hear them, people are in communication with each other. I said, you weren't even friends when you were in church. Huh? Why are you? It's something, isn't it? I think, I may be wrong. I would like for you to investigate this for me, being a young person with technological whatever. There may be a rebel app. Rebel locator app on the phones. When you get to a thing, all right, who's not right with God? Oh, yeah. Hey, hi. It's amazing. Man, I don't want to ever find myself on that list. Amen? I need this. You need this. Don't let sin find you out of fellowship with the brethren. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And when the trials of life come, and they come, you're going to be glad you're in fellowship with the brethren. Amen? Because there's other people that say, see, if you wouldn't have wasted all your time, down there at that church, we understand what's going on, right? And so let me say this. I'll be done. If you're not saved, near tonight, and you die before you get saved, sin will find you out of heaven. And that's just the half of it. Because sin will find you in a devil's hell for all eternity. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Ain't nobody tough enough for that. So what a shame it would be to let sin find you out of heaven tonight in light of what the Lord Jesus Christ did to make a way for your sins to be forgiven, for you to be delivered from the penalty of sin. So if you're not sure you're saved, you need to make sure. If you're not saved, let one of us show you, open a Bible, show you how to be saved. Amen? And if you're in here and you're saved and you can't figure out why you're not as excited about God, y'all at home listen to this too. and you can't figure out why you're not as excited about God as others, or maybe as you once were, why that desire to be here isn't there, you might want to do some self-examination. It's very possible, not always and not necessarily, and I have to throw the disclaimer out lest somebody take offense. But you better make sure some sin hasn't crept in. The devil, remember that serpent? He was subtle. You know what? Does that mean that sin slithers in? It might do it. Take care of it tonight. Whatever the need. Need to get something right with God? Do it. Amen? You're not sure? Nail it down. And if you're not saved, you'd be honest enough to admit it. Let's make tonight the night of salvation. It's not hard. That religion makes it hard. Man makes stuff hard. Well, you know, you. No, no. It's all about him. It's about you being honest with yourself. Listen, truth be known, in my 30 years as a child of God, I honestly do not remember ever talking to a person that tried to convince me they had never, ever sinned in any way, shape, or form. I've talked to plenty that said, well, compared to, you know, I've not done anything that bad. Well, they don't have a real concept of the righteousness of God. But I mean, I have not had anybody try to say, I'm not worried about going to hell. I'm not a sinner. That book says all have sinned. Right. Some of us are bigger sinners than others. But we're all sinners. And Jesus Christ went to the cross. The Bible said he died for our sins. He didn't die so we can go to heaven. He didn't die on the cross so we can have a good life. That's just benefits. He died for our sins because sin was taking you to hell, taking me to hell. Be sure your sin will find you out of heaven. And it doesn't have to. And don't let it. Let's stand. Let's stand for a moment. I'm really done. Let's bow our heads. Let's contemplate what I've talked about.